the way of performing the worship, Rasulullah said, لِتَأْخُذُ عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me the rituals of Umrah and Hajj. Why? Because he was told what to do and how to do. By the revelation, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي يُصَلِّي, pray as he saw me pray. Why? Because Jibreel came and led him in the first prayer twice. So it is a revelation. It's a revelation. The second issue, or the third issue is the manners and characters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we all go through the seerah. We all know that the Seer Mikta, famous book, is translated in English, and Mukhtasar Seerah for Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab is translated in English, and everyone is interested in reading it. But have we stopped by that to compare ourselves to that? Forgiveness. Rasulullah sallam used to forgive. We're going to go through examples. He used to forgive. And the best example of that is when he conquered Mecca. Imagine, a man was in Mecca tortured severely. Severely. To limit that, when he was prostrating one day, they brought some goats and they put the blessing on his neck and head. And they tossed his companions while he's seeing that. And they killed some of them. Like Sumayyah, the mother of Yasir. They tossed Bilal. They even banded him and the Muslims with him, and even the non-Muslims who supported him, in between two mountains, in a place called Sha'b Abi Talib. For 3 years, a big band. No one is allowed to sell anything to them, rather to donate anything to them, and not to buy anything from them. Direct under the sun, ikhwan. Direct under the sun. 3 years. No cover. No houses. No shelter. Nothing. No food, no water. 3 years. And when he left the land, they chased him. And they declared a prize, big prize, 100 heads of camel, for the one who bring Muhammad and his companion, Abu Bakr, alive or dead. And they chased them themselves. They came to the cave themselves. And when he was survived by Allah Ta'ala and reached Medina, they did not stop. They came in the Battle of the Trench, Khandaq. They came in Uhud and they bleeded him. They did all these things. He came in the 5th year with him and his companions to do Umrah. They came in their ihram and they were stopped by Hudaybiyah near the checkpoint on the way coming from Jeddah. They stopped there and they were not allowed to come in. Subhanallah. Now all this, imagine if just 1/10 of it happened to you. What is your reaction going to be? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he conquered Mecca, he hears someone saying, Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama. He said, today is the day, in which flesh is going to be cut in pieces. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the man and said, no! Al-Yawma Yawmul Marhama. Today, the day of mercy. The day of mercy. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered of a lot of harshness from Quraysh. Some harshness was by tongue. And this is what we can call it psychological harmfulness. They called him Mudammam. How did he face it? Now today you are called Jami, you are called Madkhali, you are called Wahhabi, you are called, you know. And these Mashaykh were called, they are with the government there, as the Salaf were also called, you know, they say Ulama del Baghdad al-Sultan. This is the title the Mubtada I used to give to the Ulama of al-Sunnah. They say these are the scholars who ride the tail of the female donkey of the government. It's not only to please the ruler, but even to please the donkey. And not any donkey, female donkey. Look to that. Today, you're going to hear like these things, and even worse. You're going to hear like that. What's your reaction going to be? Harshness? Then you are not on the way of Rasulullah. This is how you examine yourself. If you face it with harshness, then you got to know that you are not on the way of Rasulullah now, at this thing. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although they called him Mudammam, and they called Majnoon, Sahir, Sha'ir, many, many other things. As what Musa alayhi salam was harmed with, they said he's Adam. So, that is the psychological harmfulness that they played against Rasulullah. They showed also physical harshness. As I told you, they put the dirt over his head when he was prostrating. They made it difficult for him to live in Mecca. So, until he left to Taif, and the people of Taif stoned him until he was bleeding. They came to Badr with their khamr, with their female singers, and they said they are going to punish Muhammad and his deen and his people. All that was done by these people. And also in Uhud, they bleeded it. All this physical harmfulness. But when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered, and he had the power, he asked him, what do you think I'm going to do with you? He said, you are a kind brother and a kind nephew. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, idhabu fa'antum al-tulaqa. You go. You're free. That's he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to them, alaykum salam. The first issue is the da'i must continue on the da'wah for tawheed and must concentrate on it up until people accept it. Does this contradict with what we said earlier that we have to learn the seerah? No. You learn the seerah, and first thing you see in the seerah is that Rasulullah ﷺ stayed in Mecca 10 years, did not call to nothing but to tawheed. And 3 years in Mecca also, tawheed and salah. So 13 years in Mecca, tawheed. In Medina, tawheed, salah, siyam, hajj, etc., etc. But tawheed was there until he died. Until he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. he continued calling to Tawheed. When he was dying, he said, La'natullahi al-Yahudi wal-Nasara. Curse of Allah is upon the Jew and Christians. Why? Tawheed, you see the Tawheed now. اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مثلا. They took the graves of their prophets, places of worship. And then he asked Allah, he said, Allahumma la taj'al qabri watanan ya'bad. Oh Allah, do not turn my grave as an idol worship. SubhanAllah. All this shows that it is very important for us to concentrate on Tawheed. Because usually, once people accept Tawheed, they will accept everything else. But the thing is, how you can make them accept Tawheed? This leads us to what Rasulullah advised. It's in fact a command in a form of advice to Mu'adh bin Jabal and Ali ibn Abi Talib when he sent them to the people of Yemen. He said to them, you come and you are approaching people of Ahl al-Kitab. Once you reach them, then call them to La ilaha illallah. Begin with La ilaha illallah. And say on that until they accept. What does that mean? It means, as Nuh alayhi salam said in Surah Nuh, رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ. نعم من الآية ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفورا. نوح عليه السلام is saying that, oh my Lord, oh Allah, I called them and hid it. يعني every individual alone, and I called them in public. And that's what Rasulullah used to do. He called some in hidden privately, and he called in Hajj when people come, he called the tribes of the Arabs. Oh, you tribe of so and so. So we have to spend all our means, use everything we can in order to make people accept this da'wah, the da'wah of Tawheed. Even if it needs to spend some money, you're still in need for it to do. Spend some money. You're not losing. You're not losing. See, if you spend your money for jihad, are you losing? No. Inna Allah ishtara min al-mu'mineena, anfusahum wa amwaluhum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Allah bought from the believers their souls and their wealth, that the Jannah is for them, and the reward for the price. So, if in the jihad, which is only assigned to call people, to bring people to Tawheed, and in jihad, we don't force people to accept Tawheed, as you know. We give them the choice of three things. So if they decide to stay in their deen and pay the jizya, we cannot force them. So even spending money there is not like spending money in turning someone to Tawheed, to Islam. And that's why Rasulullah told Ali radiallahu anhu, when he guided them, when he sent them to fight the Jew in Khaybar, he told them, انطلق على رسلك. Go but slowly. Don't travel fast. Why? It is to make to give more time for the Jew to hear from people that the army is coming. The army is coming. So maybe they accept the da'wah. And then he told him, and once you come to the land, do not begin with fighting, but called them to accept La ilaha illallah. And then he encouraged them, he said, because Ali ibn Abi Talib is a mujahid, he's a fighter. And when the fighter sees the battle, he cannot, you know, hold himself. He cannot. It's a kind, you know, it's an attraction. It is the Jannah, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, وَلَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمَرِ النَّعَمِ. And remember, if Allah Ta'ala guides even only one man with you, this would be better for you than حُمَرِ النَّعَمِ. What is حُمَرِ النَّعَمِ? حُمَرِ النَّعَمِ is the best qualities of camels. And this at that time, it was maybe like Rolls Royce today. And now, guess if they tell you, okay, if you can't bring one Christian to Islam, we're going to give you Rolls Royce. I don't think each one of us would leave the Christian, you know. He would stick to him. Please, come to Islam. So, the Prophet ﷺ is encouraging Ali radiallahu anhu. So, and this is an encouragement for us all. And especially that, there's no jihad today. So the only way you call people is a good da'wah. Present your deen in a good way so people accept it. One more point. You have to participate with the people's occasions. With whatever things they need to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have even to spend money, by the way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina. The people of Medina asked him to come. They hosted him. And the proof of that is what you know. Once he came to the beginning of Medina, they were all out. And his reception. And when he came, everyone was holding the robe of the camel, saying, here, Ya Rasulullah, in the house, Ya Rasulullah, everyone is willing to have it. But Rasulullah said to them, leave it, and is commanded where to stop. So everyone was afraid to host Rasulullah in his house. Now, when Rasulullah came to Medina, there was no mosque, only the mosque of Quba. But inside Medina there was no mosque. There is a mosque at the beginning of Medina between Quba and Medina that is called Masjid al-Jum'ah. But this was made by Rasulullah to pray Jum'ah in it. And it was said that some Sahaba prayed Jum'ah before Rasulullah came there. Allah knows best. I'm not so sure of it now. But anyway, when Rasulullah ﷺ came to Medina, first thing he began with is building the mosque. He found a place, where is the mosque now? And of course it is the revelation that designated this place for him. Because it is a place where it became a blessed place. So, Rasulullah ﷺ came to that place and he asked who this place belongs to. It was an abandoned farm. So it was for two orphans in Medina. And the one who used to take care of the farm for these orphans said to Rasulullah ﷺ that this is a gift from them. He said, no. Once we earn some money, we're going to pay back. Subhanallah. Now, to us as a du'at, when we come to a place where there is no mosque, what's the best thing we're going to do? You people, go on, build up your mosque. But do we do anything to make that mosque exist? Very little people who can do something. If the mosque has, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only afford to buy the farm. But even when they become building, he used to work with them. He used to cut the bricks. He himself, and everyone used to cut one brick, and he used to cut two. This encouraged the people. So we have to work with the people, especially in the social Islamic affairs. We have to. And we have to bring the hearts together to the brotherhood. We have to work on fighting the enmity and hatred between the Muslims. And I mean Muslims. I mean the Muslims. All the Muslims. But based on the Quran and the Sunnah, the Tawheed and the Sunnah. But in a good way. In a good way. As Rasulullah ﷺ did. As we all know that Rasulullah ﷺ, once the Muhajirin came to Medina, he has done the famous brotherhood in the world. Yani, well known. He brought one of Al-Ansar, one of Al-Muhajirin. You from Al-Ansar, you have your home, you have your business. This man left everything behind. Help him. One of them said to, one of the Ansar said to one of the Muhajirin, it is Sa'd ibn Rabi' and Abdurrahman ibn Awf, he said to him, I have somebody who has too much money, a good business. Half of it for you, half of it for me. And I have two wives. You may share your money, but you cannot share your wives. And this does not mean you go on, if you have two wives, divorce one. No, but help them to marry. Help them. That's the only thing you do today. We have a lot of when people of Quba had a fight between different tribes there in Quba area, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged the Sahabi, said, who of you can go with me to make the compromise between the people of Quba? Look to this. Are we doing that? We need to think of this. We may be doing that, but we may do it very narrowly, between people we only know, we only like. We may have exercised that. If I ask every one of you, he will give me an incident that he brought two brothers to back again to the brotherhood. But if we investigate it, we find that these two it means something to him, but not with others. Not with others. Not widely. Although al-islahu bayn al-nas is something liked by Allah. Look to the Prophet ﷺ and his family. And unfortunately, this is totally missed in the West. Ikhwan, I got a lot of calls. Don't think this gray hair on my beard because of my age. I'm still young. But it is really because of the number of calls that really shocked me. We hear something unbelievable. Muslims. A man fights his wife, boxes his wife. A man, a husband, abandoned his house for a whole day, 2 days, 3 days, and nights with his friends, with his... Subhanallah. Is that how Rasulullah ﷺ used to be? Well, no. And once he returns back, and she asks, where were you? He turns his face to something, scared even the lion. And it becomes so you know, angry and scream to limits that every child runs to a corner and freeze there. All this because his wife asked him, where was he? And if we see how Rasulullah dealt with his wives, Aisha one night, when it was her turn that Rasulullah stay with her, she awake at night to find Rasulullah is not there. She thought he went to, because she thought like that. She did not think that he is cheating her, but she thought that he needs his own need, but she is sleeping and he did not want to awake her, to disturb her. So that might be her thought. So she came out and she saw somebody walking. She realized that it is Rasulullah. She followed him till he came to the graveyard of Al-Baqiyah. And he stood there. She tried to come closer, but she could not because she thought he might feel, because, you know. When he turned to return back home, she ran. And because it was dark and she's wearing the black abaya, he could not, but he saw something running. He could not realize what it is. And that is a proof that Rasulullah is a human like us. He does not know the unseen. He didn't even figure who was that. But when he came home, he found Aisha covered, but breathing hardly. Because she was running. He knew at that time that she was the one running before him. So he did not make a problem from that. She asked, saying, he said, Ya Luka, Luka, this is a word that is said to someone who tries to know everything in detail. So he said, Ya Luka, أخشيتي أن يحيف الله ورسوله عليك. You scared, you feel that Allah, you thought that Allah and His Messenger would have blessed you. And then she said, Ya Rasulullah, if I visit the grave, what should I say? He did not say, don't now talk to me like that. This is not the time for teaching. Now why are you, he did not say that. He just simply said, oh, you say like this. Like if there was nothing. SubhanAllah. Are we like that? That, and if we know that Rasulullah, he used to be around his wives all the time. All the time. Even in the daytime. In night time, he spent the night with only one in her house. But in the day, every day, he gathered them in one house. And he sits with them all and ask them about their daily affairs and what happened. Aisha radiallahu anha was the most wife accompanied him in trouble and everywhere. So look, when you are absent from the house, leaving all the responsibility, and the responsibility and the rest is not like it's here today. Responsibility of the family and the rest is something Allah understand. It's big, it's very difficult. So you are leaving her with this big responsibility, and at the end you even do not please her with coming back home with a flower, with a box of chocolate, with a small gift. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what the first thing Rasulullah begins with when he comes home? She said the siwak. Why? Is he going to pray? No, he's not. But he's going to kiss his wife. And he wants her to, although Rasulullah, all of them is the businessman, the ever businessman. But he uses two sticks, the siwak, because he wants his wife to smell nice smell. This is yani, the simple gift you can get, at least. But you go with the brothers, do whatever you do, you come back smelly because of the sweat and, you know, or uncombed. Abdullah Abbas, before he enters his house, he used to comb his beard. One of his students said, "Ya Ibn Abbas, you do that?" Because in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ used to come very rarely, not often, no? Not regularly. So he said, "Well, I have to be for my wife the way I want her to be for me." Subhanallah. Are we like that? That is that. I always say, this is the binoculars that shows the microbes and bacteria and viruses in our life. When you take the sunnah and put your eyes into it, you see that, oh, I am very sick. I am very sick. And now I need to plan my medication. So we have to. A lot of things to be said. His position is his position with the companions, even with the enemies, even with the enemies. Zayd ibn Sa'na, a Jew. Zayd ibn Sa'na is a Jew who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some money. He intended to lend him because he read in the Torah and in the Old Testament some description of Rasulullah. So one day he came to him and he grabbed his clothes and he said, "Ya Muhammad, give me my money back. You, the family of Abdul Muttalib, are people who take the money other than denying it." Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he spoke very harshly against this man, Zayd, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, let me break his leg." Rasulullah said, "No, Ya Umar. I was in need to advise me to repay back in a good way. You should advise me." Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Umar, "You should advise me to pay his money back, to pay the debt. And you should advise him to claim his money nicely." Subhanallah. That made Zayd to embrace Islam. See? Zayd, and this hadith is in a Tabarani, the men of Isnad are all thiqat. Some people tried to kill him. Safwan ibn Sa'd, when Rasulullah was in Medina, he was in Mecca, he sat by the Kaaba with Umair ibn Wahab al-Jumahi, and he said to him, "See, it was after Badr. See, if it is not that I have a big loan debt, and I have a family, and I have no relative to take care of them, I will have gone to Muhammad and killed him." He said, Umayr ibn Wahab said, "Don't worry, your family is my family, I'll take care of it, and the debt you have, I'll pay, don't worry about it." Safwan ibn Umayyah took his sword and poisoned it for a couple of days till the sword absorbed the poison, and he traveled to Medina. When he came into the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam carrying his sword, Umar ibn Khattab immediately said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can see the evil in his eyes." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Leave it. Come, Ya Safwan." So Safwan came. Once he came close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed him from his clothes. He said, "Safwan, why did you come? What brought you here?" He said, "I came for my son, who was arrested in Badr." He said, "No, Safwan, you did not speak of the truth. But you and Umayr ibn Wahab al-Jumahi sat by the Kaaba, and you said that if it is not the loan you have, if it is not your family who has no one to take care of them, you will have come and killed me. And Umayr ibn Wahab told you that your family is his, and he's going to pay back your debt." He said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. By Allah there was no one between us. And it must be conveyed to you by the revelation. So I became Muslim. Right. Same thing with Isa used to kill the fitna. Once the fitna comes up, once the head of the fitna comes up, he cuts it and put it down. Look today, people are very thirsty for fitna. They want to see any two fight, so they come in between. Yes, he said so. Yes, he said so. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Even between tulab al-ilm, the salafiyin, between the mashayikh, the salafiyin, you see some people are only running after fitna. They come to this shaykh and they come to this shaykh. Allah musta'an. To limits, I'm wondering, even they bring this to the internet, to all world. All world. I come to the internet, website, special website. Sheikh so-and-so. Come to see the criticism of Sheikh so-and-so against Sheikh so-and-so. Allah understand. Is this your deen? That's what the kuffar are going to say. Is this your deen? Akhi, no problem to refute the mistake, the wrong. No problem. Malik رضي الله عنه said, ما منا إلا ورادنا مردود عليه. Every one of us can make mistakes. But if you teach does not mean this is real extremism, even worse than the Khawarij, the extremism of the Khawarij. Because the extremism of the Khawarij is against the rulers and against the Awam, mainly. But the extremism of these people is against the carriers of the da'wah. The colors of the deen. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Yani that is real dangerous thing. And look, when Abdullah ibn Ubay, this is the head of the hypocrites. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows very well who he is. And he told Hudayf ibn al-Yaman the names of the hypocrites in Medina as a secret. But yet he saw Salam dealing with him in a nice way. Even after what he did in the battle of Uhud, he said, Ya Muhammad, I'll come with you with my people. They came. They were one third of the army. Just, you see, where is Uhud from Medina, Ikhwan? You've all been in Medina. How far is Uhud from Medina? Uhud is, today is one district of Medina. And even at that time, it wasn't far, that far. Just a few miles, Abdullah ibn Ubay returned with one third of the army. See how weak he made it. And that's good, alhamdulillah, that they did not return from the middle of the battle. Or they did not turn to be fighters with the kuffar against the Muslims from the inside. And he said on the way back, لَنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَ لَأُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنَ الْأَذَنِ. When he returned back to Medina, the one of honor is going to kick out the one of dispute emulation from Medina. Emulation from Medina. The son of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul is a Muslim, a believer, Sahabi, called Abdullah. He stood carrying his sword and he said to his father, no, you cannot enter Medina until Rasulullah sallam permits you to know who is Al-Az, who is Al-Adab. When Abdullah ibn Ubay, Rasulullah sallam told him, wait a minute, he came. When Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul died, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shrouded him with his clothes. With the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clothes. Why? To bring those who are following him back. This man finished, khalas, to the fire. We're not caring about it. But this softness will soften the hearts of the followers. They would say, oh, Abdullah must be wrong, because see what he done for Rasulullah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still kind even when he died. So this will bring them. That's what we need, ya ikhwan. That is what we need today. Listen, when we are surrounded with everyone who hates the da'wah, the kuffar hates the da'wah, the Sufis hates the da'wah, the Shia, the Rawafid hates the da'wah, the Madhabiyya, the Khawarij, so many people, the liberals hates the da'wah. So the enemies are so many. We don't need to form any more queue of army against Islam. There are more than enough enemies for Islam today. So we need to open up our chests. The way Rasulullah sallam, I'm not telling you yani, be something new. No. Just follow Rasulullah sallam. Study the seerah of Rasulullah sallam. The seerah and the seerah and the seerah. If we learn the seerah and concentrate upon the seerah, which yani, like for example, when you talk about Rasulullah sallam while he was going to the battle of Quraysh, aren't you going to talk about Tawheed? Of course, the battle itself is based on Tawheed. He's going to fight these people because they are rejecting Tawheed, they're kuffar. Second, on the way, some of the new Muslims said, Ya Rasulullah, اجعل لنا ذات أنوار كما لهم ذات أنوار. A sign, a tree for us to hang ourselves for blessing, like the kuffar are. So this is Tawheed. Rasulullah sallam there corrected this mistake. So the biography is including everything, the fiqh, the seerah, the fiqh, the aqeedah, everything, how to deal, business, everything. And the best book that I encourage everyone to study is Zad al-Ma'ad. Zad al-Ma'ad is the best book. And by the way, we are teaching it twice a week and in the Pal Talk in English. In our room at 5 o'clock Saudi time, which is Sunday and Monday. So this is very important. Why I am teaching it? Because I found that the people today are badly in need for the seerah. Badly in need. Why? Because look, who is now taking care of the seerah? The Salafis? No. People who are even clean shaved. And they are well known of yani, presenting the seerah in a good way. While طلاب العلم and the ulama see and find that this is not the good way. One of them had a series of lectures upon the history of Islam. Sheikh Ibn Baz commanded not to be spread because of the mistakes that it has. When a Salafi Talib al-Ilm teaches the seerah, he is going to present it from a Salafi way, perspective. He will take out all the not sahih. He will emphasize where it needs to be emphasized. Another one, clean shave, he's talking about the seerah, about Ghar Hira, and he's giving it more than what the Sahaba even given it. And he went there and videotaped himself and they brought it on the TV. So why these clowns are doing that? It is because the people of the truth are not doing this kind of thing. There is a gap. So these people came into this gap. Came there. Like the snake, the snake just swept anywhere. These people are like that. Why? Because you guys, the people of Haq, the Salafis, are not doing that. Not doing that. This is very important to be understood. Last thing I want to talk about, it's only kind that we emphasize in. Whatsoever happened, we have to stay in da'wah. See if people boycott you, see if people criticize you, see if people do whatever they do, do not leave da'wah. Because you are not making da'wah to please them. You are not making it to please them. Rather to earn money or gain wealth or gain position, honor, no. You should do that for the sake of Allah. You should do that for the sake of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the Maghazi of Ibn Ishaq, with Isnad that Al-Bani said it is good, Utbah ibn Rabi'a was sent by Quraysh to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Negotiate for what? Utbah ibn Rabi'a came to him and he said, "Ya Muhammad, you are one of us and we like you, we love you. So why you want to split us? If you want money, we will collect money for you to be the most rich one amongst us. The most rich one amongst us. If you want to be in position, we will make you the king of the Arabs. If you are possessed with jinn, we can bring you the best doctors to treat you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not curse him, did not say, "For that you can't get out." No, no, no. He said yes. He said, "Okay, listen." And then he began reciting Surah Fussilat. Up until he reached the ayah, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ. If they turn their backs to you, then tell them, "I'm warning you, Sa'iqa, thunder, or lightning, like the one was sent to Ad and Thamud." Immediately, Utbah, they know Muhammad is a messenger, but they did not want to admit it. Utbah immediately put his hand on the mouth of Rasulullah not to continue. He said, "No, I ask you by Allah and the Rahim, kingship, don't say it anymore, don't disturb it." So, we have to stable on our knees. We have to. Yani, I saw some Salafi du'as. When they are boycotted or, you know, whatsoever happened to them from their brothers, they tend to the Hizbis or to the Sufis, or why, akhi? Are we only looking for position? I have no problem, I myself, and let the whole world hear from me. I have no problem to go and lecture anywhere. Even if a church calls me to lecture there about Islam, I am going to lecture there. Because I have to make them hear the haq. But not to please them. I am not going there to please anyone. If Sufis called me to give a lecture about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will present the seerah to refute Sufism. If the Rawabid called me, I will talk about the seerah in a way to refute the Khawarij. Same thing with the Rafidah, same thing. I'm not going to please them. But we have to stable on our means, on our beliefs, on our aqeedah, but not to leave it. What we see today, once the brother is abandoned, boycotted by some of his brothers, immediately he turned his back. Some turned their back even to the Hussar, clean shave, and you see them with chains, you see them with, I don't even know. Why is that, akhi? Is that all because you're not given the position? It is because Allah Ta'ala knew that you are not good for the position. That's it. If Allah Ta'ala knows that you are good for this position, he will have put you. Because Allah Ta'ala only does the wisdom. Everything he does is out of wisdom. So we have to understand that, and these are only some examples of the biography of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how we can benefit from the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what is a big need today for all Muslims to know? Yani I was wondering that in some Muslim countries they did some cartoon against Rasulullah, and people said that we have to go and give some lectures about Rasulullah. Salafi, no. You don't need to give lectures to those kuffar who met Rasulullah. You need to give lectures to the Muslims, because the Muslims do not know the seerah of Rasulullah. They do not know it. They do not know it. So we have to understand this, and by that I clean up my talk to them. First of all, very sorry for taking this long time. However, the subject really needs many thousand hours to talk about, to cover, and we are not able even to cover. But it's only a kind of encouragement. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are following in serious the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and calling the others to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbihi. If you have any questions, let's get to the subject. Jazakallah
Ta'ala for all the examples that you gave us. Now I would like to ask you, what example sticks out in your mind that can increase us in our iman and cause us to have a better brotherhood when we get back home to the States? And we could carry that for the rest of our life.
Well, again, it is the seerah. If we understand the seerah, for example, when you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam jokes with one companion, he came to the market, and that companion was there, and he came and held him from the back, and he said, "Who buys this slave for me?" He means the slave of Allah. He wasn't a slave of him, but he's a slave. You're a slave, I'm a slave, we are all a slave of Allah. So he said, "Who buys this slave for me?" The man said, "Ya Rasulullah, you find me then of low price." Rasulullah then turned and said, "But to Allah, before Allah, you have much value." This, why Rasulullah did it? It's only to, bring some kind of, blizzard. And also, when you see him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling Mu'ad, "Ya Mu'ad, inni uhibbuk." Ya Mu'ad, I love you. We need to have these kind of things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, when you love someone for the sake of Allah, you go to him and tell him you love him. And let me ask you, honestly, have you done that? We always do it with talab al-ilm and ulama. When you send a question, I say, "I love you for the sake of Allah," which is good. But do we do that between us? And the other thing, how many times you give gifts? How many times you give gifts? Tahadu, tahabu. How many times you give gifts to your brother? Even if it is a small thing. Even if it is a small thing. You know? There are many things. There are many things that we can do in order to maintain the brotherhood. I would choose this word today, and instead of saying to increase it, but I want to maintain it, keep it at least. Because I really get shocked. I cannot see any two brothers continue until they die. I don't understand. They must split. Why Shaitan is so active these days? Why he is so successful in separating between the Salafis? And I use this terminology, the Salafis, not to insult them, but because they are the examples of the people today. They are the example for the people to follow. I cannot talk about why the Rafida are splitting, why, because they are not the example. The example are the Salafis. So the Salafis must maintain this brotherhood by all the means that we find in the Seerah, which we cannot just bring in a few words today. Now, Allahu A'lam. Wa iyyakum barakallahu. Usually, we take questions from the net, but because it is already 11, although it is the time for the question and answer session, and it is the time for Sunan Nasa'i. By the way, we are teaching the book of Sheikh Adam, Akhiratul Uqba, Sharh al-Mushtaqa, Sharh Sunan Nasa'i in English at this time, every day except Friday. Friday is question and answer session, open session. But apologize for the brothers and sisters in the left. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take their questions. If tomorrow I don't come, if I'm not going to come tomorrow, then inshallah we're going to take the questions. If I'll come, then it's the same situation. On Monday, it will be the same situation because Shaykh Rasulullah is in you. Inshallah. Inshallah. Come inshallah. Tayyib. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. Although I would say that I will come inshallah tomorrow, on Monday at least, to transmit the khutbah, the lectures of Shaykh Abdul Majid Suhail and Shaykh Rasulullah for the brothers and sisters in the net, inshallah ta'ala, to share the benefit. Jazakumullah khair, and sorry for keeping you this long. I know you're tired, but may Allah ta'ala put that in your reward in the day of rejection. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.